You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Marriage Therapy Radio. I'm Zach. I'm here with Laura. I recorded this episode in my hometown in Virginia. I'm a little jet lag loopy, so we're kind of all over the place, but it is about one of my favorite topics, repair. If you listen to the podcast even one or maybe two other times, you know that I think this is one of the most important skills, and I love finding ways to achieve it. So we bat some of those ideas around, and there's a charming story about how my thumbs betrayed my brain. But I'm actually grateful for that. As always, it's a very cool conversation. Stick around.
So what room are you in right now?
I'm at my mom's house in the great state of Virginia. I did not grow up in this house, so this is just a guest bedroom.
Okay.
I'm here for a memorial service for a guy that was like a kind of like a dad to me. And so I'm doing that this weekend. And but I had the weirdest experience last night. Okay, check it out. I know. I flew the red eye so that I could work, so I could talk to you, find people on the internet. Because if I travel during the day, I can't work. So I travel during the middle of the night. I'm too old to travel in the middle of the night, by the way. It's just not my thing.
I don't know anybody that can do it. I'm not good at red eyes. I am the reason why it's called a red eye.
So I'm in Charlotte this morning, and the band Chicago is playing on the radio above my head. Mm-hmm. Do you know the band Chicago? Are you old enough?
I've heard of them. Yeah.
Okay. So the song is this song 25 or 624. Do you know this number?
Nope.
25 or 624. You don't know that song? Okay. Mm-mm. You're welcome, everyone, for getting to hear me sing 25 or 624. But I'm like, what the heck is 25 or 624?
Yeah. Did you Google it?
I did, but check this out. This is how bizarre.
Is it a phone number? It's a phone number. It's got to be.
25 or 624. That's
I thought it was 64.
No.
Okay, go on.
That's also not a phone number, by the way. 25 and 64 are not phone numbers.
I was like, I thought that maybe they were singing, you know, like
8675309. Yeah, no. Okay, 25 or 64. So I'm in the Charlotte airport. It's like 6:30 in the morning. And I go on the internet to find out about 25 or 64. It's a song about writing a song.
Okay.
And he's exhausted. And he doesn't know what time it is. So he goes, it's 25 or 26 to 4 a.m.
Okay.
25 or 26 minutes, which was the time it was for me. I was reading this article about 25 or 6 to 4 at about 25 or 6 to 4 in my body. And I was the universe is amazing. But now I'm just at my mom's house and I have jet lag and I'm here in the great state of Virginia to hang out for the weekend.
And you're in a fun little mood, which I appreciate.
It's my jet laggy, like wackadoodle mood. Yeah.
Wackadoodle.
You know, Zach and I are huge fans of getting support, especially during abnormally stressful times like these. This is why we have partnered with BetterHelp to put you in contact with licensed professional counselors in your area. Tap into the world's largest network of licensed, accredited, and experienced counselors who can help you with a range of issues, including depression, anxiety, relationships, trauma, grief, and more. With BetterHelp's counselors, you get the same professionalism and quality that you would expect from an in-office counselor, but with the ability to communicate when and how you want. The matching process is quick but thorough, and you have the ability to communicate with your therapist how you like it, whether it be messaging, over the phone, or video conferencing. I know that in-person therapy sessions aren't feasible right now, and a lot of therapists are booked out, but don't let that stop you from getting the support that you need. The cost is less than half of what Zach and I charge, which is kind of unheard of. And when you register with BetterHelp, you're supporting Marriage Therapy Radio. Go to trybetterhelp.com/MTR to register. trybetterhelp.com/MTR to register with BetterHelp.
I also did not sleep last night. I'm going to make this about me, which now I'm super self-conscious.
No.
Because you make those jokes. You're the only one in my life that points that out.
I'm the only one who loves you enough.
I actually was saying this yesterday to a client about, you know, how sometimes our partners are critical and sometimes they point things out about us that are hard to hear. And mm-hmm. I said, what if for a second you weren't critical? And what if perhaps your partner's pointing out something that may have some truth to it? Mm. And I said, you know, the people that love us the most often know more about us than we think they do.
Sure.
And so the fact that you point out to me that I make everything about me, I believe that perhaps there may be a smidgen of truth in that.
Okay. I'm going to let you chew on that for a little while.
Okay. So I didn't sleep well last night because
you were on an overnight flight crammed between two people that you didn't know while wearing a mask on your face and your eyes. Mm-hmm. No, that's just me. No. Got it.
Cause I was having nightmares about my couples. Do you ever have nightmares? Do you ever dream about your couples?
No, I do not think about my couples if I'm not with them.
No, I do.
That's not true. I mean, sometimes I think about them, but
yeah. And so I was dreaming that the relationship. So here's the hard part is that I work with couples late into the night, two nights a week. And late into the night for me is like till 9:00 PM. And then if I don't have some sort of a ritual to kind of like cleanse the energy and sort of transition or whatever it might be, sometimes I take that energy into my sleep. And so I dreamt about my couples and it's hard. So I was dreaming about couples who are really struggling. And I do see patterns. I think we both see patterns in therapy where like you will get three mm-hmm. new clients and all of them are affair clients or. Mm-hmm. And so right now I think that the pattern that I'm seeing is couples who likely should not be together. Is that a good way to put it? couples where I think that it is the end of the relationship imminently. Okay. It's coming to an end. And so that's a hard place to be at for everybody is that middle ground of should we be together? Should we not be together? How much energy do I even really want to put into therapy? And, you know, sometimes therapists kind of have a little bit of insight. They can sort of predict a little bit. I don't know how good you are at predicting, but
yeah.
Yeah. Tough.
Yeah. I'm just holding up a mirror. You know, people say, this is what's going on. And I'm like, well, I'm going to hold up a mirror and this is what the mirror says, you know, mirror, mirror on the wall.
You know? Will your relationship succeed or fail?
Yeah.
No.
Actually, that's kind of a tiny bit of what I want to talk about today because it's this idea of like you sort of see something and you can't not see it. It's like when you buy a red Honda CRV.
Right. Then now you're like, everybody has a red CRV.
This is the thing I'm hearing all the time in my practice. It's like my ears just like automatically hear it. And it's this, ready? Well, you're the one who, or I'm not the one who so-and-so, right? And then that, as soon as I hear that, I am like, oh, this conversation is going nowhere.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
And so I'm learning how to just stop it and be like, hold up. Like, what is your damage here? Like, what is the end of this conversation? Because I bet you already know how it's going to play out, right? It's going to play out where you just sort of escalate. And who wins? Who's going to win?
Right.
And they're like, you know, kind of sad about it, whatever else. So I've been working on trying to figure out how to flip it over. In fact, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. Do you want to hear my idea?
Yeah, because I'm kind of really like lost at this point about how you flip it over. What does that mean?
Okay. Here it is. Ready?
Okay.
I'm not the one who, let's see, what's a good, just give me one. Say something to me. Just say something mean to me about how you're not the one. You're the one. Say you're the one who.
Well, you're the one who always loses the car keys in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, of course I always lose the car keys because I'm distracted by
my beauty,
by your beauty.
Yeah.
you know? Yeah. Or yeah, well, the only reason you're distracted by my beauty is because you're really paying attention. I really appreciate how much you're paying attention. Well, the only reason I can pay attention is because you create so much free time for me in the morning because you're really concentrating on the kids. Well, I of course I'm concentrating on the kids because you're going to work and making our lives so much better. And like,
have you actually had couples do this in your office to see how it plays out?
I have them try. And it's hard because they when they're trying in my office, they're usually being sarcastic, right? They're usually being like, well, of course I am because you're the only one. But think about it for a second. If you are going to have an option about whether or not to have a contest to see who was the most offensive, nobody's going to win.
Okay.
But if you're going to have the contest about which one of you, the other is the most like glorious or beneficial to you, like the only winner there is the two of you. Because then
can I actually try this? I need to try this with you because I don't think my brain works that way with you.
Okay.
Because if you've, I mean, listeners, if you have heard our dynamic, you recognize that there is like a whole lot of jabbing and sarcasm and contempt on my behalf, which with Zach.
I have an easy one for you that I could do. Well, you're the one who's always making it about you, Laura.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh, I do always make it about me because I have to find some way to shine when you're so bright.
No, that's dang sarcasm. It. No, I think, but you could easily say in a more authentic moment, you go, well, yeah, Zach, you're super safe for me. Like it's safe for me to turn into like, of course I'm going to make it about me. Like I don't get to do that in my everyday life with my clients and stuff. So having a place to do that.
Like you really give me the space to be able to talk about myself.
Yeah. Okay. Or whatever. And then I'll go, well, of course I do that because Laura, you've done the same for me. Like I get to be grouchy and grumpy whenever I need to, and I really appreciate that friendship works that way. You go, well, of course it works that way. We've got 7 years in. And I remember at the very beginning, you did, you know, like that's,
okay.
I think if couples can figure out how to wrap their head around that a little bit, again, what's the end of that? The end is we're laughing.
We're
ridiculous. You know, maybe we're both amazing. You know,
I want to try this. I really do. I want to see how it goes because most people know me to be pretty darn snarky. And if I was to show up as more authentic and caring, it would really like knock their socks off.
Okay. So let me tell you the story that happened just the other day. All right. So Rebecca and I got into this spat the other day and it was about something that kind of always happens for us, which is we run out of time to talk about something important. And so I'm headed out the door and she says, well, I don't really think it should be like this. And I was like, fine. I'll just fix it all and I'll make it the other way, you know? And then I just left, like I took off. And so I'm driving and she texts me. And of course I have to look at it because I got to figure out like, how am I going to win this argument between the two of us?
Sure. Yeah.
And she says, why do you always do that? Why do you have to slam the door? That's what she calls it when I get defensive. And in this case, I almost literally slammed the door, except it hit my foot and it didn't slam. And so that was kind of, but okay. So I'm driving and I type, I didn't slam the door. That's what my brain types.
Right.
My thumbs type, you know what? I did slam the door. I left out the word not or didn't. I typed, I did slam the door.
Oh.
And then I realized like I admitted she was right. Uh-huh. And
accidentally your thumbs betrayed you.
I accidentally admitted she was right. But then I decided, I'm going to go with this. I'm going to see what happens.
I'm going to
see what happens if I play it out here. So I'm still texting and driving, which I'm sorry if that offends you, trigger warning and all that stuff. But I'm still texting and driving and she says something like, I forget what she said. And I said, you know what? You're right. I probably was overreacting and then she said something else, trying to get me, like just make her point. And I was like, that's a really good point. And so, she doesn't know I'm doing this social experiment, but it's working because she calms down and she ends up saying, hey, you know what? Thank you. Oh, sorry. She does calm down in the thing. Then yesterday, I come home from the thing. We have the conversation about the thing. It goes better. My brain is actually just in a really different place. But then yesterday morning, I wake up and she says, "Hey, I want you to know that the way you handled that was like really amazing." Tears in her eyes. She goes,
"Oh my gosh."
She was like, "I couldn't believe that you, that, and you know, just really just complimentary. And like, I can just really see change in you and growth." And I mean, I'm accepting
Please
it.
Please tell me you did not let the cat out of the bag that it was an accident.
Well, only now. I mean, but okay. She never listens to the podcast. So
great.
I'm probably in the clear.
Yeah, you are.
Although her friend Julie listens to the podcast religiously, and Julie's going to be like, "Hey, I need to tell you something."
No, Julie, keep this a secret. Zach is turning a new leaf here.
I'm trying. But this idea that I created in my head about, you know, what happens if we flip it over? It's not just this theory I've kind of generated for my clients. Like, it actually works. I think if you just concede ground or what I've been saying is escalate the repair, right? Escalate the repair, not the complaint, because that's going nowhere.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Obviously, to be Rebecca in this situation, it's going to be a little jarring, right? Like, she didn't expect to get the text where you're like, "I did slam the door and I did overreact." And, you know, you're taking responsibility and you're saying all the things that she's not expecting you to say. It's kind of like confusing her, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But so that feels good to her. But was there a change or a transition on your behalf when you started writing these things where you were taking responsibility or you were escalating the repair?
Okay, so the full disclosure, I don't know if that's exactly right, but you know, while I'm driving, I'm having a hard time concentrating, of course, because I'm trying not to murder anyone.
That's a good idea.
But then I get to the restaurant where I go during soccer practice, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm much more thoughtful and deliberate about my response. So yes, at the restaurant, for sure, in me, I accept the psychic shift, right? I accept that I'm doing something differently, and I'm trying it out, and like, it actually feels really good. And I have a theory about this too, which is, if you go to a restaurant and you order your meal and they bring you the wrong meal, that sucks for you. Like, that stinks. And you could be like, they could be like, "Sorry, wrong meal, my bad." And that would be like not a very good experience for you. If you go to the restaurant, and you order the meal and they bring you the right meal, you're like, "Cool, right? That's the right meal. I got exactly what I thought." If they bring you the wrong meal and then they fix it, and then they comp your dessert, and then they say, "Hey, we're really sorry. Here's 20% off your next visit here." That's the best meal.
Yeah.
We think we have a bias for perfection, but we don't. We have a bias for repair. And that's what we're, that's what we're chasing here. And that was Rebecca's experience, which is it could have just been a normal everyday interaction that was fine, but because it was sort of extraordinary repair, it was a way more powerful experience for her, in the same way that like getting the free dessert and the 20% off was, because we don't know it. We don't know that we want it to go wrong, but we'd rather it go wrong and then get fixed than it just be perfect, because perfect is boring, which is why am not boring.
That is correct. I'm going to let that one go ahead and ring true. I have to ask the question though, because you said something that did blow my mind, but I wanted you to finish what you were saying before the reaction, which is that we don't have a bias for perfection. We have a bias for what?
Repair. We have a bias for repair. There's an urban legend out of Disney World, which is, or Disneyland, I think, which is, I don't know if it's actually this or not, but I feel like I studied it in college, which is the idea that if you go to Disney World and you have a perfect day, you'll rate it an 8 or a 9. But if you go to Disney World and something goes wrong and then Disney fixes it in the way that Disney fixes things, you'll rate your day a 9 or a 10. They know that the value is in correcting the mistake. They work very hard at being perfect and making sure that the trash cans are the right number of feet apart, so there's no garbage, and that you can smell the stuff, and that the right, you know, but they also are very clear about their customer service philosophy, which is make sure these people are, they're wowed by the correction.
The repair. I've been working on repair a ton with my couples. And actually, I asked a couple last night if I could use this on air, because it made me giggle that, you know, we're going through repair statements, trying to figure out, you know, what can you do to repair in the moment, which is such a powerful skill for couples to be able to have, right? Because none of us are perfect, especially Zach. And so it's really important to be able to take that moment.
Because perfect is boring.
That's right. And to make the repair. And as they were going through the statements, the husband turns and he said, don't you already use a repairer? And she's like looking at him kind of like, what do you mean? And he said, well, you do say kindly fuck off quite a few times to me. And that to me seems like a pretty solid repair. And I looked at both of them and I was like, that's amazing. That is perhaps my favorite repair of all time. And it's just kind of the alert of, hey, something just happened here. And yeah, I'm going to give you the opportunity to correct course because it is so important.
Totally. Yeah. My favorite repair of all time, by the way, is, I love it. I love it because they know what it is, right? It's coded and it makes sense for them. My favorite repair of all time is this, and I'm going to bang my head. So you're going to hear me bang my head. Ready? He goes,
okay.
We're doing it again. That thing we do, that pattern that we get into, that's terrible. Let's do something else. And that's where the something else in this case might be escalate the repair.
I know the escalating the repair is really tough to do in the moment, but I think if I was texting with my partner and I had time to think about some witty, carefully remarked, it's like I almost have to come out of myself. I have to like say, okay, here's Laura as she normally is. And then here's, you know, Laura with a sprinkling of like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Kindness, or generosity.
Who has two thumbs and is really good at repair? This guy.
I hope you get some sleep soon.
Because my thumbs betrayed me and did me. I know. And I need some sleep for sure. But I'm about to go get my favorite sandwich of all time.
What's on it?
Well, I'll tell you what it is. Are you ready?
Yeah.
It's a honeymooner with no bacon, no tomato, add lettuce and extra mayonnaise.
Okay, hold on. A honeymooner?
Mm-hmm. With no bacon and no tomato, add lettuce and extra mayonnaise. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'm excited.
Sounds good.
And then tonight I'm going to go watch my high school soccer team play their arch rivals. And I'm going to cheer really loud because why not?
All right. Let's land this plane.
Okay. See you later.
All right. Adios. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. Gosh, sometimes the episodes with Zach are awfully entertaining. We sometimes just join each other. I joined him today on his roller coaster. He'll have an opportunity to join me on my roller coaster someday. But we really just want to drive home the idea that it's not about perfection in your relationship. It really is about the repair. I love the idea of being able to flip the repair, sort of one out one another, one up one another when it comes to just really trying to be like gracious and understanding and empathetic and non-defensive. So give it a shot. See how it goes. I like the idea of trying out text rather than doing it in person. That seems kind of difficult. But really just wanted to say thank you for all of your time and your attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.